Now, with the leave of the meeting, it would be sensible, I suggest, to deal with the elected members' motion, a rescission motion, that appears on page 209. So, with the leave of the meeting, I'll bring that forward for consideration now. All right, there being no objection. Who would like to proceed?
Well, it's my rescission motion, Mr. Mayor, so...
Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the rescission motion as printed. I think this actually gives us an opportunity to take a step back. A step back from the abyss of actually having enduring public ridicule to actually gain some community confidence again, to actually sit down with this precinct and do it properly, rather than doing it piecemeal, you know, one cricket net after the other and removing rose gardens and not taking the time to acknowledge that it's surrounded by a community. There has been a significant step missed. They did not consult the community. Even though Councillor Gard did ask that question, that in our decision making, we were ill-informed on the night in terms of that matter. That is an issue in itself. So our community engagement and strategic planning is really in question here. We should have strategic planning with these facilities, particularly if there is a burgeoning cricket club that want more room. I'd be even in the business of actually acquiring more land, if there was land available, and I hear there might be. I've asked staff to investigate it. Apparently there was a house fire and there might be an opportunity for land acquisition, I don't know. But, you know, I want to see this councillor being an enabler with everybody using this, including the community. If the footprint's too small, maybe we need to look at, if where possible, increasing the footprint. This would be part of my second part of that rescission motion. In terms of the convention of rescission, normally if you submit a rescission motion, everything stops. But no, council continued to put the ill-conceived so-called public consultation out there, indicating the decision's made. It's an announce and defended position, which the former Labor state government was ridiculed about. Here we are doing it ourselves.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I do feel compelled to second this motion, particularly with my name to the history of the original motion. What stimulated me to ask that question more specifically was my concern about the transfer of the memorial. The question probably resonated through to other things because consultation would have to include the lot of all concerns that involve change, let's say. It enables me at this point to also make mention that on numerous occasions I have put to this council the, and I allude also to Councillor Velisco's earlier comments on another matter, that it is mandatory that in a business as large and wide as ours, that we take consultation extremely seriously and professionally and broadly. And I don't believe, as a professional in the field, that we do. And I speak with a full marketing qualification, and I have lectured in marketing, so I am respected in the field. I believe that we need to go arm's length more often with our surveys. I believe we must not be passive with our surveys and confine them merely to internet and thereby draw information from people who are most concerned rather than a representative sample of the population. I'll say no more on the matter because I think the point is made, but I do want council to react this time at the management level and set up a process where we can start to do this perhaps by inquisition first, but do it more better, do it much better.
Councillor Vlescu.
I'd like to move this as actually deferred to after we get the report. You know, I think with this site, the sensitivity was probably perceived to be about the Memorial Rose Garden, and the consultation could be broader. We do have a broader consultation process. And my concern with actually proceeding with this, because a vote either way will determine an outcome, will remove an outcome.
Yep. Councillor Vlescu, being a procedural motion, that's not up to debate. Although, in theory, you could have been speaking to the motion and then moving the procedural motion. But you have moved it. If you are moving to adjourn, you'll need to supply a date. I note that in the report it says the consultation runs until 4th of June and staff were planning to bring back a report for 22nd of June.
That date then.
So you're moving it to be adjourned to that date. Is that seconded? Not at this point. Councillor Masika seconding. Then I'll simply put the motion to put this off to 22nd of June. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by a majority. I'll just check with governance. Yes, that's in order. So all those in favour of postponing...
What's the point? What is that, a procedural motion?
I've been advised by... the governance manager that we can have a division on a procedural motion. We normally can't on an amendment because that's a halfway thing before coming to a final decision on a topic. But a procedural motion, I'm advised, we can. So this is to those in favour of adjourning the topic until after we've had the results of the consultation, please stand. Councillors Masika, Mason, Vlescu, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan and Gard. You may sit down. Those against, Councillors Hull and Crossland, the motion is carried. So, members of the public, you might want to come back on 22nd of June. We have dealt with the motion, but Councillor Crossland.
There's a point that... Councillor Hall raised, and it's the very point why I couldn't vote on that item. He's 100% correct. Normally when a rescission motion is suggested or raised, everything stops. I can name some of them are confidential, but well, we've even directed letters to be sent.
Councillor Crossland,
on this occasion, it carried on.
Councillor Crossland, work is not proceeding.
But the consultation
That wasn't true. It's not true.
The consultation had commenced prior to the rescission motion.
The point is that the consultation is not something that has a lasting change in itself. Work, when I said that work was stopped, it's not being done on the ground. No one's digging up the roses.
I appreciate that, but usually the rescission motion stops all of the things that are in chain. That's what's happened before.
Well...
Why isn't it happened on this occasion?
I'm not sure it's a matter for investigation right now, but since there's intense public interest, would Mr. Harrison, do you want to venture a view, or is there an appropriate staff member who could comment?
I'm not sure what view I can provide at this point in time. Certainly there was a face-to-face meeting on the Oval, as people are aware of. There was discussion and some degree of undertakings made on that evening, and we did try to expedite, through the sentiments of that meeting, a consultation approach followed by a request to do a broader survey of some form of a master planning type approach. My clear recollection is the rescission motion proposal then came subsequent to the preparation of that piece of work.
So if I can just order, if I can just order, a point of order, yes, go on.
This council makes decisions. What happened on that oval?
No.
Non-binding.
Order, that's a point of debate. It's not a point of order. The point of order is dismissed. I can add, because I was present at that meeting, and it's fair to say, apart from the residents, the mayor did most of the talking, although there was some contribution from senior management and ward councillors. And because we heard on the spot what residents wanted, which was more consultation, I gave an undertaking that we would proceed with consultation. Now, how and when that happened is an operational matter which administration took up. But the promise that they would be consulted about the broader issues was actually made on the 6th of May. And my understanding is that the rescission motion came in after that date. So if you follow that through, Councillor, you can't have a situation where staff or ward councillors or the mayor undertake that a certain thing will be done, to build a playground or something, but to consult about things, and then to have consultation stopped by a rescission motion, which after all, a member can bring to this place and then keep adjourning month after month and potentially block consultation forever. That would be a nonsense. So because there was an assurance in good faith to residents in the presence of senior management, ward councillors and the mayor that consultation would occur, it did not seem right that just because there was a rescission motion brought, which may or may not be passed, that the consultation should not occur. It would have actually dishonoured the ward councillors, the mayor and senior management and Marion Council as a whole not to proceed with that consultation.
Thank you.
We can now move on to the next item. So those of you who are here for the Glandore issues, that is all of the debate we'll have on the topic tonight. You may want to come back on the 22nd of June. Now, I'll just go to the next page. We're dealing with confirmation of the minutes of the Planning and Development Committee, page 58. Who would like to move confirmation? Councillor. Councillor, moved by Councillor Schilling, and a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Happy to move. Just a question with regards to page 62, Centre Zoning Review and Urban Activation Opportunities. I note that there's a few bullet points that state they'll follow up with ward councillors, but there's a couple of others that don't. One in particular is in my ward. Could we please ensure that that's followed up with all ward councillors, not just the ones that are noted in those bullet points?
Do we have... that would be Mr. Haridis who would need to make sure that that'll be followed up with the planning people.
Thank you.
And if necessary, the economic development manager. Thank you. Good question. Is that seconded, Councillor Hull?
Oh, well, what was I seconding? I was asking that.
Yes, Councillor Hull's idea. All those in favour? No. Councillor Hull, what is your question? I don't believe it did. Can I have a report from Mr. Haridis or someone? Or Councillor Mason might be able to recall. I don't recall that there was a deputation from the gentleman from Warradale about his
No,
he didn't attend.
Did anybody really know that it was going to be dealt with on that night?
Oh, Mr. Haridis? So just for the record, there was a question on notice about whether the Warradale resident, sorry, can I have his name, please? Mr. Jessop, thank you. Whether Mr. Jessop was invited to the meeting of the Planning and Development Committee on the 4th of May. So that'll come back in due course. I'm now looking for a seconder of confirmation of the minutes. Councillor Mason, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we proceed to consideration of confidential items. And regrettably, apart from named people, the room ends up being cleared at this point. So to members of the public, please let a staff member know if there's a particular item that you're interested in. If it's just that you wish to watch the rest of the council meeting, I can tell you that we might be behind closed doors for about half an hour, but staff will brief you on the process thereafter. Councillor
Telford. Can I move on block the cover reports because they would be
yes,
in the public domain?
There are all good reasons for those in the Chair's view, so they're moved en bloc. All those in favour? Oh, sorry, is that seconded? Councillor Schilling seconding. All those in favour, just checking again, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So, calling on the matter of the review into the Delaney Avenue decision in public session. Councillor Valescu? Is it about this item? No. Now, I advise the gentleman in the gallery, I did say before you left to advise staff if you had an interest in a matter on the agenda, and I was just told about 3 minutes ago that you were here for the Delaney Avenue item. So I apologise. If I'd known, we would have called it on earlier. So I apologise for the wait, but we'll deal with it right now. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Masika?
Yes,
is that seconded? Councillor Mason? Anything to add? Anyone against? Question? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, this is becoming quite a saga for the Council. I'd like to know how far-reaching is this going to be? Is it just going to review the existing motion, or is that independent investigator going to have the brief to actually look at the original motion? The events that happened after that, namely your leaflet dropped to the residents, is it going to be done with rigour? Is it going to actually provide council?
Got the idea, councillor. Thank you. So I interpreted that as a broad review, but how does administration interpret it? That's a good question. Who can answer that? Ms McKenzie, our Governance Manager.
Through the Chair, yes, it is intended to be a broad review. We'll go back to when the original decision was made. It is intended that any elected member that has been involved in the matter will probably be interviewed as well by the investigator, so we have a full scope of what has happened on the matter, and then we will bring it back to Council.
So that's what has happened in terms of information to members, the decisions that were made by Council, and also how the decision has been implemented.
Thanks, Mr Mayor, in regards to that original motion, can you give Council an explanation as to why you did that letterbox drop that actually questioned the original Council decision?
It's not time for those sort of political questions, Councillor.
I think it's quite relevant.
Well, you can make political mischief with my lack of an answer. Because we're here to decide whether or not there should be an independent investigation of the driveway issue, and that's what's before us. Any other speakers? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So there will be an independent decision based on past experience. Can we give the gentleman any sort of idea of a time frame? Ms McKenzie?
Through the Chair, they generally take 6 to 8 weeks depending on the complexity. Our intent will be to bring it back to Council as soon as practically possible.
All right. So once again, sorry to keep you waiting, but I hope that you will be satisfied that at least we've embarked upon an independent review, and we'll see where that takes us. Now, councillors, we haven't finished all of the independent the confidential items, but having said that, it is only a matter of questions taken on notice. So we can leave that for now, I would suggest. Get on with, on the other hand, if there are no members of public in the audience, it may, maybe we can, maybe we can quickly deal with it. So, members, I ask you to have a look at page 70, 71, the questions on notice register. We're going into confidential session again.
Okay, we're now out of confidence, and we are to page 142, and we're moving to dog registration, and I have a hand, Councillor Schilling, who would love to move something.
Move as printed.
As printed. Thank you. Would you like to speak?
No, I do have a question. This is classed as a substantial class, so it doesn't mean I have to pay.
Absolutely. There's lots of people who own dogs,
no,
yes.
No, nothing to say.
Okay, and I saw Councillor... Mr. Harides, do you have something to add before I go to Councillor Duncan?
So can I just, while Mr. Harides is coming up, just in regards to, and here, Matt, this might be what he's talking about, just in regards into Clause 6, we are recommending to change the 12 months to 6 months. This is based on the current legislative provisions, so it's not much of a major change, but we did want to highlight it.
Thank you for coming up, Mr. Harides. Councillor Duncan. Councillor Duncan has seconded the motion. Thank you. Councillor Hull.
Acting Mayor, I would like to ask the staff about... I want to particularly welcome the puppy reference in this, but I want to ask the staff, and I know staff are aware of this issue, of the pro rata. I'm the proud owner of a new puppy, okay? Lovely little American Cocker Spaniel. And so we did the right thing, notify the council. You can't register it until it's been dissexed or something like that, is that correct? But when you register it and the 12-month period comes around, you could actually register it now, and 2 months later you've got to pay again. Is there any suggestions how we get around that? Because it seems a bit onerous if you're caught up in that situation.
Through the chair, so dog registrations are effective from 1st of July to 30th of June each year. So no matter what time an owner registers their dog within that period of time, that's that annual registration. And the dog registrations, so they expire on the 30th of June and they need to be re-registered by the 31st of August. What council could consider, if it wished, is to have a free registration period for the last couple of months of the financial year to get people to have their dogs on the system, but at no cost. So that could be an option.
I welcome that, because obviously some people might be encouraged not to actually notify the possession of the dog and hold out so they don't have to pay twice. So if we did actually include that, that would be a good thing, I think, and tidy up the issue of new members of the family not being a financial burden by virtue of being hit twice within a couple of months. So could staff, with the indulgence of the chair, could staff actually contribute to the motion in terms of what that might look like? So we can pick it up now.
Through the chair, it's probably important, Councillor Hull, to just point out the implications of any change to the fee structure and where you might draw that line. So what is difficult is if it's at 3 months or at 6 months or at 9 months, but for visibility for the chamber, we raise approximately $500,000 in revenue annually through the registration process. Yes, there is the opportunity to put more variation into these fee structures, and if you had waiver periods, what's very difficult for us to do off the cuff right now is to say how many of our registrations we receive in the final quarter and what that might do to the overall revenue position. So that I'd just share that because I think it's critical if you're making a decision about changing the mix. There are implications to our revenue, and it'd be very difficult, and we'd happily take questions on notice, to be able to tell you this evening at this point in time how that compares to when we get the timing of those registrations in any given year.
Deputy Mayor, this is not the first time it's been raised with staff, so it shouldn't be a surprise to them. And residents have actually actively discussed with the staff about this, so I'm not sure why we're not actually addressing feedback. I've raised this before, and here I am again raising it, but in this case, I'm the dog owner. Is there any way we can factor it into any future review of this so it's not missed again? And I would actually be looking at maybe the 3 month as a cut-off point. Obviously, there's got to be a line drawn in the sand.
Thank you for the further questions. I'd say with the structure of the motion to your first point, it's our response to the feedback and to try to provide a balanced view is effectively the various entry points that people can pay. And so these rates are significantly lower than other councils. And in the case of puppies, for example, that's at a lower rate than the recommended rate. And as per the tables in a report, lower than what other councils are charging for similar categories. To your second point, Councillor Hull, if in future versions the Chamber would like to see an even broader range of options on pricing and the implications of pricing, this is an annual review process, is that?
This we're recommending is set for 3 years.
For 3 years, but we can look to review for future structures if the options as presented don't meet the needs of council.
Well, I think that's as good as we're going to get in the time frame tonight, well, Councillor Hull.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Mr. Deputy Mayor. It's not about pricing, it's just about the double whammy where you pay this month and you get expected to pay the full tote odds again next month because by virtue of what Ms. Perrin pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little outside of the scope of what we're doing at the moment, and it's probably too difficult to incorporate it into the motion tonight, but the staff will take that and see if they can come back to us at their earliest convenience with
it's
something.
It's like paying full tote odds on your rate on your house and then doing it again 2 months later.
I understand. Councillor Valesky.
Possible that looks into this issue and perhaps while keeping this current structure, whether we look at some sort of rebate on the following year's fees if the registration has happened by a certain time. That way staff can actually look at the impact and whether that will actually change behaviour. Will we get a whole lot of people holding back for 3 or 4 months before they so they can get it for free? So that's my view, but I'm happy to support the motion as is and we'll continue.
Yeah, so we've already got a seconder, but I appreciate your contribution to the debate given the new information. So, Councillor Gard, wrap us up with a question.
Yeah, just a very quick one regarding the background of the thinking for puppy registration. It wasn't quite clear in discussion as to why and what precipitated it. Yeah.
The Chair, under the Dog and Cat Management Act, dogs have to be registered at 3 months of age. To avail, for a person to avail themselves of the discounted rate for desexing and microchipping, most vets won't register a dog until it's at least 6 months of age. So dog owners who have a puppy have to register their dog, but they have to pay full price. So it was in recognition of that and in response to customer feedback.
Through the chair, isn't it the same as the standard dog fee that the puppy registration fee?
What we're recommending is that it be a 50% rebate, so it's the same as the standard dog, both desexed and microchipped.
Right.
So by default, a puppy at the moment is a non-standard dog?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad that's clear.
Good. Take it.
So is there anyone speaking against the motion? Excellent. With that, I'd like to go back to the mover. You don't want to speak, that's a perfect response as well. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that's carried by, carried unanimously. Thank you, members.
You don't need to deal with the agenda.
Okay, so we're moving on to Councillor Masika's motion about the city limits as one of the ones that we said we were going to do tonight.
Page 191.
Page 191. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. The call's with you, Councillor Masika.
Thanks, the Deputy Mayor. I'd like to move the motion as it printed that to have six editions in a year, and the three editions will carry up columns for the board members to contribute, 200 words each, and the three editions will not have board members' columns. I know there are some associated costs of $3,000, but those can be accommodated within the budget. So it's my wish to see that we as a board councillors can contribute in those three editions, because cut them straight, like the way we've done, it's too much. It has been very quick. And some of the residents, including myself, I normally read what's happening in my ward. I don't want to know what's happening in the world. And by removing that ward councillors to contribute what's happening in their ward to the residents, it has caused some concern to some of the residents. And that's why we're coming back to ask if we can have three editions which will carry up ward councillors' contributions. The other one will be as current as it is.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Valescu?
Does this preclude the 35 words? If because part of the rationale for changing was that wouldn't be obviously in the 200 words editions, but it was actually to put a bit of a news story with some of the council comments, which we don't get anymore. So that's what I wanted to know.
I'll take some advice from staff. Mr. Clark, to the front desk.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, my reading of this motion would be it would restore the columns to the way they were prior to the city limits adjusting the way it is now. So there would be three columns, or there'd be columns three times a year, maximum of 200 words per column.
Question in the questions where we don't have the columns, would members still be able to contribute comments like it's part of a news story like it is now?
Currently, the policy is silent on that. Councillor Masika's motion would just mean there'll just be standard columns as per previous.
You've had your chance of speaking in the debate, and it's very late. So I might go to Councillor Clancy. Go on. Perfect. And that's. Do you have a question, Councillor Mason? Sure.
Just wondering if we went back to the 200 word columns, do we have to write a column? That's part of the reason I liked the new version, that I didn't have to do the 200 words.
You're allowed to write 197 or thereabouts if you want.
Don't really want to write any words, but.
The answer to that question is no, you don't have to write a column, I'm sure, Mr. Clark.
That would be correct. May I suggest that what you may wish to do is potentially join with your other fellow ward councillor and present a joint column, so that way it's a united view from that point.
A question, Councillor Telfer? Speaking against, that's fine.
I believe in the surveys that the 2% of the community read the elected members' columns. They were most unpopular. Generally, they don't talk about what's happening in their local ward. If you went through and looked at them, they talk about anything from tax to the rent, you know, to the rent to goodness knows what. So I believe that what we currently have in place is a step forward, particularly as we now have a problem with the lack of information through the messenger. So I'm voting against the rescission motion on this.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Schilling, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I support this motion. After the first edition of No Columns was in there, I supplied feedback to Mr. Clark because I had several residents ring me asking why our columns were no longer in there, and I explained that to them, and they were quite upset because they enjoyed seeing what Councillor Duncan and myself had written about our ward, but also what other councillors were saying about the council, because it's a way for them to actually interact with us. That they don't want to actually just call us. They get a little magazine that gives a brief update of what we're doing or what we're fighting for on council. So I wholeheartedly support this. I also note that there have been residents that have noticed that we're not there, but I think there's been, with the new addition, there's been new residents that are reading it more. We've had quite a bit of feedback recently in our ward on it. And one of the questions I had was, how come councillors don't have a say? So I think this rectifies that.
Are there any more speakers against? Hang on a second. Okay, we'll go to Councillor Valesky. Councillor Masika, as the mover.
Yes, it is my understanding that this motion doesn't stop us contributing 35 words in those three remaining editions. Because remember, we have six editions, three with the columns and three without columns. So contribution to those non-columns editions, we can put up 35 words as usual. But the other three ones, that's the one which we need to put up more details, information than 35 words.
Okay, that's not quite what Councillor Valesky was asking for, I don't think. Councillor, would you clarify?
The reason I asked was that I thought Mr. Clark said that this is it and there won't be the comments. That's how I interpreted it. So if that's made clear that they still have that opportunity in those other editions, I'm happy to withdraw the amendment.
In the other editions or in all the editions?
Just the ones that don't have the columns.
Okay, Councillor Masika was happy for that. And the seconder... He's happy for that as well. So,
point of order.
Councillor Hull.
Mr. Clark made it clear that the previous policy was mute on this, and I can't see it written in this policy. So, how about we correct that?
I'm happy to do that. Councillor Masika, would you like to, or Councillor Valesky, would you like to put some words around that?
Just that councillor comments be included in three editions where there are no columns.
Yeah, I'll take a question just saving time phase.
So I may be confused, but on the editions where there are columns, is it a column from every single councillor will appear in three editions, or back to how we were where it's, say, a half of the councillors?
I think what we've done in the past is have either individual columns or half councillors, whatever members prefer. It's easier. I would also just suggest on...
At the moment, it's silent, so nobody knows.
I think what we're suggesting is that you can have the either single columns or double. If you want to include as part of the motion, that may make it clearer for us. Yeah.
And why I'm wanting clarification is, I'm going to make this up here, but let's say in the addition that we've got columns, there may be two or three articles that we want to comment on, but on those additions, we unfortunately can't. Whereas if we could say, don't put those articles in this edition because we've got columns, we'll have them in the next one so we can add our comments. I just think it's going to get very messy.
Let's
change the amendment to put comments as required, council comments as required. That way there's the flexibility. We don't, the publication is not beholden to when we want to put in comments.
The Chair, could I also suggest you may want to add in the maximum number of words for those comments as well, maybe 35 words or 40 words for the comments?
So in the name of getting somewhere near a resolution of this issue tonight, we're looking at proposing that the members can comment in three remaining issues. Both ward members can comment. They get a 200 word column. Is that clear with everyone? And in the issues which we don't have a column, we can comment on stories. It's not confusing at all. Okay. Is anyone speaking against? I'll give you one more.
Thank you. This is probably of benefit to our new CEO. The enduring issue of the distribution of this publication. All of this is for naught if people aren't getting it. So has there been any improvements in this area? Because, Councillor Crossman tells me that he's got a friend in another council area that gets it, and many of our residents don't get it. So, have we had any improvements? Because it's dragged on. This has been an issue for this council for an extended period of time.
Yep. Through the chair, thank you for the question. We've spoken to both the main distributors in Adelaide. The one who we're currently using has assured us that they're taking more checks than they've ever done before to ensure that the magazine is being delivered, and we're having received less negative feedback on that than ever before. And the other company, which is also does deliveries, has advised us just last week that they, due to inadequate staff numbers, that they can't actually do it. So we are going to go back to the main distributor, and we think things are improving. The point you were making before about other council areas getting it, the advice which we've received from the distributors is that they actually distribute as part of chunks of suburbs. So if part of that chunk of the suburb is in another council area, they actually aren't distributing it there. That's become fairly standard for them, unfortunately. And I know it's not a perfect solution for us, but that's the advice which we're receiving back. We continue to look at other delivery options, and we'll keep you advised.
I'd love to get to the bit where everyone puts their hand up, but Councillor Crossan, I'll give you one more question. Against, that's fine.
Yeah, after all those questions, I was never supporting any change to what we've got. Look, I don't find the columns that informative. I must have, well, two things. Either my residents don't read it because they're not actually telling me they're missing the columns at all, so in complete contrast to Councillor Schilling, whose readers are avidly waiting for the next edition. But it may be that my residents actually don't get city limits at all, so they don't know that there's no elected member columns in there. But the lady from Holfast Bay managed to get the second edition, and she was over the moon. So thank you.
Thank you for that timely contribution to the debate. Is there anyone else speaking in favour? Thank you. There's no one else. I'd like to go back to the mover who still wants to speak. Okay, excellent. With that, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? And I call carried by majority. Don't you dare. Councillor Hull, we're on to Vinyl Street Reserve. Calls with you. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor. I'd like to move this motion. I think that it's interesting to note in the report that we're talking about the grand sum of $1,000 upgrade and $1,300 $1,300 per annum for the water. This is the financial figure we're talking about to reactivate an irrigated reserve. It's still got the box there where it was once irrigated, but the residents have been on my case for a while saying, look, we want this re-irrigated. So whilst I know that many of you have got reserve issues yourself about irrigation, And I would have a very close look at those, as you know. Just factor in the cost with this to satisfy a small community down there that have been asking for it. We're talking about a $1,000 upgrade. That's the decision to make tonight. Staff, I'll read it out. Staff have inspected the existing irrigation system at Vinyl Street Reserve and found it will be fully functional with a $1,000 upgrade. That's all I'm asking of you tonight, is $1,000 to reactivate a reserve.
We've got a point of order from Councillor.
It's not $1,000, it's $1,000 initially and then
$1,300. I uphold the point of order because it's not necessarily misleading, but Councillor Clancy's right, it's $1,000 initially and then $1,300 recurrent.
Isn't that what I said? I told her, I said $1,300 per annum for the water. Yeah, but the cost of the upgrade is $1,000. And I said earlier that it was $1,300 for the water.
The first time you did, I believe, if we go to the videotape, the second time perhaps not. So let's just move on. It's okay.
Yeah, well, how many times have I got to say it to satisfy Councillor Clancy? Well, Councillor Clancy's
right. I uphold the point of order. Councillor Hull, please continue with the debate. It's late. Everybody understands.
Members, we're talking about a $1,000 upgrade, and sure, the cost of the water is $1,300 per annum going forward, okay? Every year, okay? So I just want to put this in relevance in terms of the cost that we're talking about. And I just wonder how many other reserves around the place that are in a similar position that are going underneath the radar for a very small fee in terms of upgrade and upkeep. So, you know, maybe Vinyl Street could be the first one to actually get the attention that it deserves. And I'll leave that with you, but it's certainly food for thought.
Now, can I have a seconder before we go to any questions, please? Councillor Gard, seconding the motion. Would you like to speak? Okay, and now I have some questions. Councillor Valescu.
Are above the matrix, or at the same level on our reserve matrix. I can't read this. What would be the estimated cost of doing those and what would be the estimated cost of doing those?
Through the chair, and thank you for the question. As per the report, whilst it references 117 other non-irrigated reserves, at hand what I can't answer for you accurately are which ones of those 117 are directly comparable or within a range to the reserve that forms part of this motion this evening. The sizes do vary considerably, so it's not as derivative of saying $1,300 per annum for 117 plus a $1,000 upgrade for the rest. There'd be a significant body of work we would need to undertake for the remainder of the unirrigated reserves. It's a piece of work, if Council was interested, we would undertake to do it, but for this evening, for the purposes of this motion, we haven't assessed the rest of the unirrigated network.
So just on that, like, we did have a matrix that we started on, so is that information available? Because at least we can see how, we won't perhaps know the price, but that might be there as far as how many litres. But that would be something, just because the implications this would have beyond Vinyl Street Reserve.
Through the chair, can I recommend, yes we do, so that the matrix is there. I'd be very happy through our open space team to undertake to bring those to you by ward. That might be an easy way to first look at that list and look at those potential areas and then see what future opportunities might be.
Thank you, Mr. Herides. I've got Councillor Schilling to speak against.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Look, I will speak against this. Adjusting one small reserve of 1,400 square metres to a public value of 4 is inconsistent with our matrix. I can name several reserves within my ward and within Coastal Ward and within Councillor Hull's ward that don't have a public value of 4, aren't watered. So it's going to create a huge discrepancy in the way we do things. And then we're going to have so many residents going, well, that reserve's been done, now my reserve needs to get done. We have a matrix for a reason. We lowered it recently to 11, if I'm correct. Maybe we need to look at lowering it again to bring some more reserves online. I'm concerned, I know the reserve Councillor Hull is talking about quite well, and I'm concerned that we're going to water that for a small portion of residents for aesthetic purposes, and I understand that's important. However, when there is Crown Street Reserve within walking distance that is irrigated, it doesn't make sense for us to irrigate that small reserve.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a speaker in favour? If not, I'll return to the mover to reply.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Maybe in hindsight it was best that I actually remove point one of the motion, because it really isn't a matter of altering the public value. The reality is the value is well known in terms of what we're dealing with here tonight. $1,000 upgrade and a $1,300 commitment for water going forward. The altering the public value is not the important part here. And I just draw your attention, members, to the fact that regardless of the public value or the metrics, how many reserves we got out there that have got existing irrigation systems that could be upgraded for $1,000? It really is a very good question to ask, which is really another aspect aside from the metrics. They're low-hanging fruit, in my view. This is low-hanging fruit. But look, win or lose with this, at least I can go back to the residents and say I gave it my best shot, and certainly advise them of the paltry amount of money that we're actually talking about here tonight.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? And all those against? The motion is lost. And we move on to the flu vaccines, elected members. Councillor Schilling, I believe the call's with you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Members, this motion is quite simple and self-explanatory in my eyes. This is a health and safety thing, not just for us, it is also for the protection of our staff. It is not a huge cost. I'm happy for it to appear on our elected members' benefits sheet. It was offered last year with consultation through staff, and I know a number of elected members took it up. If you don't want to be a part, that's fine, but I think it's a broader health and safety thing for us and our staff, and it will help us ensure that we can continue doing our job.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder, Councillor Crosland?
Look, I'll second it. I'm lucky enough to get this provided free as well through work, so I won't actually need it. But it did raise the question of, I was surprised that we weren't actually included in this vaccination. But happy to support it. Makes sense.
Sorry, Councillor. Councillor Schilling, are you happy to move the alternate wording on the screen? Yes. Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Just for clarification. And are there any speakers against? Councillor Hull.
Question, like, if we're going to do this, would COVID be something else that would be equally...
COVID is a free vaccine.
Is a free vaccine?
COVID is a free vaccine. And not everybody can get it at the moment. There's certain periods, certain members in the community can get it and others can't at the moment, but that'll change very shortly, I'm sure. But,
yeah, so more importantly, some people can't get it at all, and I think council staff might be frontline staff in many respects, so it's just a thought.
Are there any speakers against being immunised against the flu? Thank you. I don't think we need to go back to the mover. Can I put the motion, please? All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by unanimously. I'll just take the vote again quickly. All those in favour? Thank you, members. That's carried unanimously. Now, the last motion on the agenda for tonight, according to our moved, our changed agenda, is the BMX track. And this, page 140. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. This, hang on, just let me do my little preamble. This addresses a part of council which we probably need to tidy up, where the council holds something in confidence and another party involved releases information to the public, and then it's still in confidence for council. So it's a relatively cut and dried thing. The information's freely available in the community if you want to look hard enough. So Councillor Schilling to move.
Makes a lot of sense, and I look forward to declaring it properly publicly.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Duncan. Yep. Okay. Question quickly, Councillor Crossland.
So I haven't read the actual full document, but in the original motion there was some commercial in confidence figures, I thought, for costings. Are they just going to be redacted?
I believe they're going to be released. We did discuss it with the project managers and they didn't have any concerns with the high level numbers being released publicly.
Councillor Howell, a question?
Yeah, we discussed the issue, emerging issue down south, where one MP down there, I think Nat Cook her name is promoting saving the Happy Valley BMX track. And in some of the literature I've read, there's an assertion that our particular facility won't be available for the ordinary members of the public to actually have access to. Sure, the major part of the Sam Willoughby will be locked up, but this pump track's going to be open to the public.
That's correct.
Can we actually dispel that myth that's been spread around that these people from Happy Valley and everywhere else won't have anywhere to go?
It actually depends what you do with this motion that we're discussing at the moment, Councillor.
Yeah, well, if it's going to be released, maybe our comms team can actually make sure that everybody's aware of their rights and access to this site.
Just quickly through the chair, we have prepared communications in anticipation of an outcome for this evening to do just that. We can distribute key talking points through the comms team as well.
Thank you. Without any speakers against this one, I'm just going to go straight to putting the motion. All those in favour, carried unanimously. And with that, I bring this meeting to a close. Thank you, members.